Turn with me in your Bibles, please, for our second reading to Genesis chapter 44. Genesis chapter 44, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. And he commanded the steward of his house, saying, "Fill the men's sacks with food, as much as they can carry, and put every man's money in his sack, in his sack's mouth, and put my cup, the silver cup, in the sack's mouth of the youngest, and his corn money." And he did it according to the word that Joseph had spoken. As soon as the morning was light, the men were sent away, they and their asses. And when they were gone out of the city, and not yet far off, Joseph said unto his steward, "Up, follow after the men, and when thou dost overtake them, say unto them, Wherefore have ye rewarded evil for good? Is not this it in which my Lord drinketh, and whereby indeed he divineth? Ye have done evil in so doing." And he overtook them, and he spake unto them these same words. And they said unto him, "Wherefore saith my Lord these words? God forbid that thy servants should do according to this thing. Behold, the money which we found in our sacks' mouths we brought again unto thee out of the land of Canaan. How then should we steal out of thy Lord's house silver or gold, with whomsoever of thy servants it be found? Both let him die, and we also will be my Lord's bondmen." And he said, "Now also let it be according unto your words. He with whom it is found shall be my servant, and ye shall be blameless." Then they speedily took down every man his sack to the ground, and opened every man his sack, and he searched, and began at the eldest, and left at the youngest, and the cup was found in Benjamin's sack. Then they rent their clothes, and laded every man his ass, and returned to the city. And Judah and his brethren came to Joseph's house, for he was yet there, and they fell before him on the ground, and Joseph said unto them, "What deed is this that ye have done? Wot not that such a man as I can certainly divine?" And Judah said, "What shall we say unto my Lord? What shall we speak? For how shall we clear ourselves? God hath found out the iniquity of thy servants. Behold, we are my Lord's servants, both we and he also with whom the cup is found." And he said, "God forbid that I should do so, but the man in whose hand the cup is found, he shall be my servant. And as for you, get you up in peace unto your father." Then Judah came near unto him and said, "O my Lord, let thy servant, I pray thee, speak a word in my Lord's ears, and let not thine anger burn against thy servant, for thou art even as Pharaoh." My Lord asked his servant, saying, "Have ye a father or a brother?" And we said unto my Lord, "We have a father, an old man, and a child of his old age, a little one. And his brother is dead, and he alone is left of his mother, and his father loveth him. And thou saidst unto thy servants, Bring him down unto me, that I may set mine eyes upon him." And we said unto my Lord, "The lad cannot leave his father, for if he should leave his father would die." And thou saidst unto thy servants, "Except your youngest brother come down with you, ye shall see my face no more." And it came to pass, when we came up unto thy servant my father, we told him the words of my Lord. And our father said, "Go again and buy us a little food." And we said, "We cannot go down if our youngest brother be with us, then we will go down, for we may not see the man's face except our youngest brother be with us." And thy servant, my father, said unto us, "Ye know that my wife bare me two sons, and the one went out from me, and I said, Surely he is torn in pieces, and I saw him not since. And if ye take this also from me, and mischief befall him, ye shall bring down my gray hairs with sorrow to the grave. Now, therefore, when I come to thy servant my father, and the lad be not with us, seeing that his life is bound up in the lad's life, it shall come to pass, when he seeth that the lad is not with us, that he will die. And thy servants shall bring down the gray hairs of thy servant our father with sorrow to the grave. For thy servant became surety for the lad unto my father, saying, if I bring him not unto thee, then I shall bear the blame unto my father forever. Now, therefore, I pray thee, let thy servant abide instead of the lad, a bondman to my lord, and let the lad go up with his brethren. For how shall I go up to my father, and the lad be not with me, lest peradventure I see the evil that shall come on my father? May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. I told you that I intend to keep it together this year as we go through this section of Scripture, and that is indeed my intention. But I will tell you that we have already passed, I believe, the most affecting part. Here's what I mean by that. That what really ought to break us up is to witness Judah's repentance here. The rest, when Joseph puts everyone out and reveals himself to his brother, to his brethren, that is indeed an affecting part, but it is more of a sentimentality. This, to hear Judah and what he says unto Joseph, this ought to break us up. This is the heart of what it means to be a Christian, to repent, to be finally, at long last, open, honest, undeceitful or indeceitful, such that there is indeed this kind of bearing of the heart before Joseph at this point. And to date, Judah has not expressed this kind of openness. And so we have then in our understanding not only this great sentimentally affecting passage in the next chapter, but in this passage, this gospel affectation, this gospel bringing up of the emotions when we think on what true repentance is and how without it we ought never expect to see the face of God and to be brought into His confidence. And so, my dear brothers and sisters, this is the passage that we must deal with. It is indeed so very, very satisfying to see. So, what does Joseph do? He is pursuing that prophetic course. He is pursuing that prophetic course of bringing about this very repentance. And we are certain at this point that Judah speaks for the rest. And so, notice, he sends them away and he tells that wonderful and trusted servant of his, put my silver cup in Benjamin's sack. Okay. Away they go. And, I don't know, a half an hour, 45 minutes, maybe an hour later, Joseph says, now, up, go, pursue after them. And when you find them, say this: why did you steal the silver cup out of my master's house? And yet he does. Because Joseph is pursuing something, like we said a couple of chapters ago, that would not be proper for us to do. He is under what the old commentators called a divine afflatus, a divine direction, a divine prophetic direction that is bringing the people of God to repentance. And so Joseph behaves himself as an inspired prophet of God here, doing things that it would not be proper for others to do, and yet in this instance are most important for the repentance of his family, the Church of the Living God of that day. And so the cup is in Benjamin's sack. They can't believe it. They can't believe that again God has put something in the sack. Remember what they said before? God put your money in your sack. What has God done to us? And now that the cup is in Benjamin's sack, it all comes crashing down. What has God done to us? You see why then, leading up to this point, at every turn it was, what has God done? What has God put in our sacks? So that at this point, they would recognize that they were meddling with God Himself. And so they come back. But first, their word, oh, if there's anything found in our sacks, whoever it is, he will die. And the rest of us, we will become servants. And the servant, the steward of Joseph's house, has a pretty mild answer to that. No, that's not necessary. Here's what will happen instead. You have said something very extreme. Let me show you my master's magnanimity. Whoever, with whomever the silver cup is found, he will be my master's servant forever. And the rest of you may go home to your father. And they say, that's a deal. That's a bargain. Oh, you see how the Lord providentially has set them up to draw them low. Let us not then scruple with this procedure of Joseph's. And let us not murmur nor complain when the Lord brings us low as well, that we might repent. So then, they find the silver cup in Benjamin's sack, and imagine, you know, you talk about a gung, gung, gung moment. They pull the cup out of Benjamin's sack, and they recognize now that they're going to have to go back without Benjamin. So then they go back into town and they stand before Joseph. And Joseph plays the part of the vizier. He plays the part of the vice regent of Egypt. And he says, don't you know, I divine with that cup. I would know if you took it. And so they say, oh, no. And so Judah then, all on his own, may I speak a word in my Lord's ear? And that's when Judah draws near. And some of the things that he says, well, I just thought that I would kind of note them out. Whereas before, he hated his father's will. Now notice, he honors his father, even to the selling of himself into bondage for the rest of his life. Whereas before, he was jealous of Joseph. Now, he wants Benjamin to go home. Whereas before, he would have the preeminence instead of Benjamin. Now, he wants Benjamin to go and occupy that place of primogeniture with his father. Whereas before, he would not care about the will of his father. Here, he honors it to his own hurt. Oh, brothers and sisters, this is repentance. Make no mistake. This is a complete candor and openness and an honesty that we have not yet seen among the brethren of Joseph. And so Judah draws near and speaks a word. And notice how he ends with this pathetic phrase. Pathetic in the old sense, not pathetic. Pathetic in it is full of passion. How shall I go and face my father without? Oh, his mind is completely changed. He has finally humbled himself. God has gotten his attention by three times now, putting something in the sack that he did not expect. And so, once again, then, we see this course of repentance that God has led his servants on that will come to its fruition under his hand. Oh, it is not a comfortable course. It has not been an easy course. It has not been a pleasant course, but it has been a necessary course. And the course now is brought to its fruition. Judah repents. And we might say that he repents for the rest of his brothers as well. I don't think Judah, when he acts here, he acts in anything less than a representative capacity for the rest. We are reminded then of the parable of the vineyard, Whereas the brothers before were willing to kill the heir for the sake of the inheritance, here now Judah manifests the proper attitude, placing his own interests secondary to the promises of God. That bold and pure honesty, is that not winsome? Is that not attractive? Does that not cause your heart to want to follow that example of bold candor? So, there are very, very, very many wonderful things to be said about this passage. Let's stand and continue praising God in the singing of psalms. Turn with